So today's title is Eternal Security and Rewards, with Rewards. I'd like to say good morning to all of you, and we so appreciate you coming out today. And especially, we welcome all of those that are live streaming with us, and then also those that will pick this up on the recording. And it's really good. A lot of times, you know, I'll go back in different subjects I might be thinking about. I'll go back and visit the library of the Heart of Christ Church. And a lot of these are really key teachings that you can learn a lot from. So I challenge you to do that at times. And whether you're here with us or you're not with us, we'd like to hear from you, because you can drop us an email. We'd like to hear what you're thinking about. If you have any questions, we'd love to get back to you. So thank you. As I was introduced, some of you on the web didn't get this, but I'm Brother Bob. And as a song goes, many of you know this song, I'm a nobody. I want to tell you about somebody that is in charge of your soul. And I praise the Lord for that. And it's all about the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. His name is Jesus Christ. And there is no other name you can be saved by. So, who do you know? And it is Elder Sunday today. For those of you out there on the live stream and the web, that's why I'm here. And then also, yous out there on the web, you had missed it, but Elder Ryan, Elder Marion, they have taken part. And then Pastor Dave, he's going to be closing out, which he's considered an elder also. So thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to be bringing a block of teaching about eternal security with rewards. A lot of people don't talk about this. You don't hear about on the news waves and stuff. You know, they're just talking about the bad stuff. And thinking about what we go through on a regular week, I wrote a few things down. What about the times we're living in right now? Well, we overschedule our days. You know, we're always under pressure with impossible deadlines to meet. And what's this about people always hanging at the quick stops? You ever notice this, especially on the weekends? They're going to soon take reservations at these places. You can't get into these places. And all they're going there for, they're going there for gasoline, Krispy Kreme, nicotine, caffeine, and playing a lottery scheme. And I'm guilty. I've done it all. And at work, a lot of us, you know, the guy or the woman that we mentored or that we followed was our mentor. Nowadays, turns out to be your tormentor. Anybody? Yeah, okay. And the TV, the radio, over the internet, the so-called fake news. All this stuff is going out over the airwaves. Half of it is false, but there's one thing guaranteed. It's bad and it's going to worse. You don't hear the good anymore. That's why you're here, and we praise God for that. And then we're coming into football season. You know, and I don't know about some of your teams. You know, I'm over in the Northern Lebanon District, and like Charles just informed me, Bobby, do you know that your team is 5-0 this season? Oh, terrible. So, what about your football team? You know, most of the teams right now are like possums. They're playing dead and always get killed on the road. But most people in society today, they have shifted into a survival mode. It's like I'm storing up water. The grid's going down any day. I'm storing up food. You know, I'm storing this, I'm storing that. Well, that's the way they want us. And the thing is, we're so busy about all these other things, we don't notice what's going on behind the scenes, if you will. And that is the so-called, like the movie The Wizard of Oz, the one behind the curtain pulling the strings. It's Satan himself. He is unveiling evil for this world, and especially these United States. You know, you hear people politically speaking about, oh, you don't know what it's like. We should become a socialist nation. We should become a communist nation. Well, you never asked me. Well, guess what? I was over in Korea in the 70s. There was a dictator over there, Park Chung-hee. You go on a Katusa bus downtown. The Rock Army comes on the bus. If they see a United States person in the military, they salute you. But all the citizenry, right, are under their dominion. And it could be a private in the army. And they'll go to, like, just a person sitting on the bus. Kajiwa. That means, give me your papers. And then if they don't like the papers, I seen this firsthand. They start beating them with billy clubs till they take them off the bus. And with not a accusation, with not a cause, they throw them in prison until their case comes up. Do we want a socialistic government? Do we want communism? And then when I was over in Lithuania, right when Russia pulled out of Lithuania, and praise the Lord, the Lithuanians became a free country, we went into some of the villages with tears in their eyes, and Brother Wayne was over there with them people, and with tears in their eyes, they told us of the terrible stories. They were under communism. The army would come into the village. They would blow the whistle, and everybody, you weren't watching TV, you weren't doing anything. You lined up on the streets. This is a communist government. And they asked questions. One of the questions was, does your household have a Bible? And they looked at the children. And if the children would flinch or go, Mommy or Daddy, they'd take those parents and put them in prison. Just like that. So think about the unveiling of the evil on this country. And there's just a few that are pushing their agenda. So watch. Really watch. The people that were voting in the office. We have heard two things, and I've heard this over the years. There's only two guarantees in life. What are those guarantees? Death and taxes. Everybody knows that. Well, that's not quite enough information, because it goes a little bit deeper than that, and that's what we're going to talk about today. God wants you to have eternal security with rewards. And now I'm going to ask you the question, and you say this with me. What really matters? Say that, please. Well, I'll tell you that Jesus is both Lord and Savior of your life. And step one of getting eternal security with rewards. Step one, remember, Lord and Savior are two different things. In this day and age, a lot of people claim him as Savior, but many people don't claim him as Lord. I'm doing my own thing. You know, well, now wait a minute. You really shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff if you're a Christian. You know? So we're going to check into that today. And one of the first scriptures we're going to look at, if you will, turn to your Bibles, John 14, verses 1 through 6. Turn with me, if you will, in your scriptures, John 14, 1 through 6. John chapter 14, 1 through 6. And it goes like this. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus answered and said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So here we go. Jesus is claiming, and there are many other scriptures that allude to this, that there's no other name by which a person can be saved. Now, you can go into all these multitude of religions, and I don't know why anybody would, like, when I was over in Korea, they were all worshiping Buddha and all this other stuff. He was just a man that died. He's in the grave yet. And then some people, the Muslims, they talk about Muhammad. He died, he's in the grave. And then Sung Young Moon, when I had come back from overseas in the 70s, you know, one of these Moonies, they met me in California and they're draping me with all these flowers and stuff. We love you and all this other stuff. And then I realized they wanted me to join their cult. And I just, you know, thank you, but no thank you. So there's a mirage of false religions, if you will. And then also, God actually puts a binder on the end of the Bible. It says, Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, he says, if you add to the prophecy the words of this book, you will get all the plagues from this book. I don't even want one of those plagues. Or if you subtract from the prophecy of the word of this book, you're getting the same thing. So you hear religions that, you know, there was a guy, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago. His name was Joseph Smith. He actually come through Lebanon County. My great uncle, Os, there's my brother, Whitey, he talked about this. He says that, you know, I remember when the guy come through Lebanon County. You know, now they have the Book of Mormon. And it turned into religion. Now, wait a minute. Didn't you read the end of the Bible? You ain't supposed to be adding. You can't put your own version of salvation in the... I mean, just don't even go there. You're bringing curses on yourself. So there's many other scriptures that talk about Jesus is the only way. We'll turn to one more, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13. And it goes like this. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there is no distinction between Jew, Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches with all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you talk about eternal security. A lot of insurance companies, they don't talk about this. They just want to, do you have enough insurance to die? Now, wait a minute. If I'm dying, why do I need $1 million worth of insurance? I'm not going to be around. You know, or, you know, people are planning everything. They're planning next week. They're planning their vacations. But most of us don't plan for eternity. But last time I checked, all of us are going to die, with the exception if the Lord returns. So this is something that right now the salvation plan goes out to all mankind. Like Pastor Rich, Pastor Dave says, it's a free gift, but it's going to cost you everything once you have it. Then, post-salvation, and this is, again, I don't understand this stuff, but God keeps giving to his people. God tells us that he will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14, this is the assurance. You're guaranteed, this is your guarantee in life that you are going to heaven. I'm not going to turn there, but you could write that down for later. But this is what you call the progressive sanctification. And this is this ongoing process, if you will. For a scripture, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Romans chapter 8. Verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. So, in a nutshell, and there's many other scriptures about this, that regardless of, we were talking about this in discipleship hour, if someone was to come to you and say, is Jesus Christ your Lord? And they have the machete. And when you say Jesus Christ is Lord, what you gonna do? In the discipleship hour, we decided we don't know what we're going to do. Wow. I hope we're never put in a situation like that. But many have been. So we just praise Jesus, because to be absent from the body is to be present with Jesus Christ in heaven. So congratulations, you are born again. And that's when your new life begins. I know we have talked about this in the past. It's A.D. and B.C. Does anybody know what A.D. stands for in salvation terms? After death, Brenda. It's after death, B.C. Yeah. And then with us, it's B.C., before Christ, and then A.C., after Christ. And many of us can relate to our lives. Matter of fact, I was with my brother yesterday. We were reminiscing about some wild times that I had before I was with the Lord. You know, and the thing is, when God saves you and he anoints you with his Spirit, you are born again. You are changed forever. And I praise God for that. because all this stuff before Christ, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans, because on eternity side, it amounts to nothing. But after Christ is where you're building your rewards, and we're going to check into that right now. So the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is a choice. It's not a chance that determines your future. Think about that. It's a choice, not a chance, as some would have you believe. I guess the evolution guys, they see everything's a chance. But no, wrong chicken. That was in memory of Pastor Rich. Okay, I want you to repeat after me. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Now we come to step two. We just went over step one. And like I said, we're just skipping through this because there's a lot of detail to all these passages that confirm Jesus as the Christ. Like you look back in the prophecy, 700 years before Christ, Isaiah prophesied all these things that would happen. 600 and some years before Christ, Jeremiah, he prophesied of all these things. Then after him, Daniel came, wrote all these prophecies down. And all these prophecies came, well, not some of Daniel's, but they came to fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Think about that. And that's just some of the confirmation things that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Okay, like I said, part two. Brothers and sisters, you were bought with a price. And one of my favorite scriptures is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're not going to go there. Verse 19 and 20. Because I have talked to numerous people and they go, hey, it's my body. I can do with it what I want. I'll never forget, I had this discussion with my daughter. I said, you are not getting a tattoo, right? Some of you fathers and some of you are smiling because you got the tattoos. And then my daughter says, Dad, it's my body if I want to get a tattoo, you know. And eventually she got the tattoo, you know, and it wasn't a deal breaker, you know. But God claims after salvation that he bought you with a price. What extreme price he paid. And we talked a little bit about that in worship today. It was on Mount Calvary. He spread his arms. He took the nails for you and me. In the feet, in his legs, in his arm, he took the spear in the side. They just didn't put a crown on his head. Big thorns, they pounded into his head. And if that's where it stopped, physically, we could have took that. But then the wrath of God came on him for all of the people that he was saving. I don't know what that's all about, but I know one thing. It says in the scriptures, no man could endure the wrath of God. But God could. And God loved us so much. That's why he came to save us. Save a people for himself. And I praise God for that. So you're no longer your own. You were bought with a price. And then, like I said, you get the Holy Spirit. And with that come the fruits of the Spirit. And this is what's really neat. This is when you see this great change in somebody. Does anybody know some of the fruits of the Spirit? Yes, I think you've nailed most of them. And the thing is, if you go out in the workplace and you display the fruits of the Spirit, you're gentle, you're meek, You're kind. Now, I'm not that way all the time. I'm guilty sometimes. But when we are glorifying God, we are displaying the fruits of the Spirit. And oh, how your witness gets people's attention. They're not used to it. And you can win somebody over to Christ just by your spirit, your Christian walk. They are looking because they're not used to this. So study that, the fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I always had a problem with self-control. Because a lot of times people made me so mad, I like, rah! In fact, I had a story the other week. My wife was laughing. Right outside of the dispatch office, I'm done with work. Who knows how many hours I put in. Go in the bathroom, slam the door, washed up and stuff. I go to come out the door. The handle's missing on this steel door. Boom, 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 boom. Hey! Boom, boom, boom. 10 minutes later, I'm coming out of here. I turned around, I held the sink, and man, you talk about a mule kicking a door. That door was coming down. The steel door was one kick away from coming out, and some guy come running in. He said, "Holy smokes, what's going on in there?" I said, "This door's coming down. I'm coming out." So forgive me, Lord, for losing my self-control. But we got to watch ourselves. I just like, I'm coming out of here. So I know it was wrong to basically destroy that steel door. And I hope God will forgive me for that. But there again, you know, I'm guilty of not practicing self-control. So I'm warning you guys, watch yourselves. When you go in the bathroom, don't shut the door until you make sure there's a handle on it. So now, when you get these fruits of the Spirit, you're supposed to walk in the Spirit. And so each of us, as we walk in the Spirit, like a stone thrown in the pond, we can have a ripple effect on society. And there's one thing, you probably all remember Yosemite Sam, the cartoon. Now, I actually had a guy working with me that was his twin. Had a cowboy boot, you know, boots and bow-legged and stuff. But if you remember the mud flaps that were put out, a lot of your trucks had them. They say, "Back off." Right? That's something that a Christian is never supposed to do. A Christian is never supposed to back off. A Christian should never even entertain the thought. Move forward in your ministries. Move forward. Even though somebody might have said something or made you a little bit mad or whatever. Hey, God gave me grace. God gave me mercy. God gave me forgiveness. And the best thing I can do is give it right back out. So let's do that. So how does Jesus look as Lord and Savior? I'm going to ask right now, Pastor Dave and Pastor Amy to stand right here in the middle. And I'm going to ask Lynn to stand up because she's part of the ministry with Pastor Rich. Just stand right there in between the rows. Okay. What does it look like to have Jesus as Lord? And I did ask Amy to stand up. I guess Amy's a little hard of hearing back there in the back row. But you're going to be standing up sooner or later. Now what I'm asking, if you help with discipleship hour, stand up and join hands. If you help with the prayer team, if you prayed for this congregation, if you contributed to this congregation, stand up and join hands. If if you're helping with discipleship hour, stand up and join hands. So in other words, if you're going to help with the prayer walk, if you're going to help with the float, if you're helping with children's church, I know they're over there right now. They can't come over here. And like I said, if you're putting money in the plate, if you're helping in the music ministry, stand up and join hands. And everybody should be joining hands. And what I'm saying right now, this is what God's church looks like. And guess what? Satan can never come against us. Amen. He will flee. Because in numbers, like we studied today, there is power. Power of the Holy Spirit. So you can sit down, but thanks for participating. But this is what church is all about. See, I noticed some of yous were going to sleep, so that's why I did that. But this is what the power of the Holy Spirit is all about. And we're going to look at, turn with me in the book of Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verses 40 through 42. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 through 42. And there's many, many verses on rewards, but we're running a time schedule here, so I can't go into even a fraction of them. But Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 through 42. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives, and whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of water to drink, surely I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. And now turn with me in the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, chapter 6. Book of Luke, chapter 6. And I'm looking at verses 20 through 23. So Luke chapter 6, verse 20 through 23 in Luke chapter 6. And it says, be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets, but woe to you who are rich, and you are receiving your comfort in full. And woe to you who are well fed, now you shall be hungry. And woe to you who laugh now, and for you shall mourn and weep. And the thing is, the warnings go out. You know, if you're living in privilege and not helping with the kingdom, you know, you're losing out on rewards. So God wants you to be laborers in the field, because he says in the book that the fields are ripe, they're white with ripe for harvest. And like Brother Bob and Brother Mitch, they go out with the Gideons, and many of you go out and witness to people, and we praise God for that, and winning people for Christ, winning souls for Christ. And if you're praying for the church, if you're praying for God's ministry, if you're praying for this country, keep on keeping on, because you're a prayer warrior. You're going to receive receive rewards. If you're participating in giving money towards the ministries to the church, you're going to be receiving rewards. And there's many other scriptures about that. So what I'd like to say is, today, when Jesus is your Lord and Savior, we have great power to do things. And we do things for God's glory. We don't do it for our own glory anymore. We're working for the gospel. So we must be examples of Jesus, and lives will be saved. So in closing, this great nation we live in needs us to stand and take a Christian stand for this nation and to speak out against evil and the wicked ways that are creeping in right now. And I'll never forget Ronald Reagan. He was one of my all-time heroes. And what he said, "We are one nation under God, and if we forget, we will be one nation gone under." And I'll tell you what, praise the Lord for Donald Trump, because he's right along with Ronald Reagan as great men of God. And I want to put a challenge to you. It's no longer okay just to be in the church. You must be the church. You have a promise of eternal security with great rewards. So I'm asking you right now, and I'm putting a challenge out to you. Make a noise and a difference for God. Let us all rise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this holy word, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would empower many to go out and make a change in the culture. And Lord, we thank you for your promises of eternal security with rewards in heaven. How's that going to look? I don't know, but it's going to be so awesome that God tells us in the scriptures, we don't have an imagination to even go there. So I can't wait. How about you? I thank you, Jesus, and I just praise your holy name today and let you rule in our hearts and rule in our lives as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.